You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without further ado, the Dear Friends podcast. Dear friends, spill your woes to your musical family. Dear friends, they will take your questions and turn them into nuggets of wisdom and anecdotes in an otherwise cynical world. Dear friends.
Hi, I'm dear friend Emily.
I'm dear friend Christy.
And I'm dearest friend Jess. And welcome to Dear Friend, a writing advice podcast for the musical minded.
Yes, we're tapping into our baritone voices today.
I wanted to try my radio voice on today. But no, I can't hold that very long. Come on, what do you think this is?
How are you guys doing today?
Come on, this is Dear Friends. I can't have a serious bone in my body. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Fantastic, Jess. Thanks for asking.
Oh, wow. What is that pillow talk radio? Is that still a thing that people do?
That's what I was thinking. It's like, this one goes out to a lonely heart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, this one goes out to Billy Flynn, who writes in asking, Dear friends, there's a lot of friends of mine that aren't into musicals, and I don't know where to get them started. What musicals do you recommend as a gateway show to start them off?
That's a good How'd you question.
Like that? How you like yeah. that, ladies and yeah. gents and they thems?
I love it. I'm assuming we're talking about adults, or are we talking about
right.
kids too?
It does
That's
not
a good
specify.
Question.
All right, why don't we do two separate sections?
Okay.
Let's start with adults and then we'll do kid ones at the end.
Yeah, because I wouldn't recommend Annie to an adult.
No.
For their first one. Although, I don't know, maybe the 82 film is pretty
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
My go-tos are kind of the generic ones that kind of everyone sees that you can easily access, like at the holidays, mm-hmm. like The Sound of Music and The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Those are two that are so intertwined with pop culture and kind of the quote unquote the normies that I feel like they're very accessible. Also, Wizard of Oz is that old style of musical theater where it's like the songs don't really develop the plot that much. It's like, go do this thing. And then they sing about the thing that you kind of are already aware of.
Right.
Whereas, go follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. go follow the Yellow Brick Road and then we'll sing about it, which was
yeah.
kind of, it's from the 30s. That's what you would do.
Yeah.
But Sound of Music is the integrated style Rodgers and Hammerstein perfected where the songs do work in service of the story. So mm-hmm. I think those are good dual representations because we all know we get very annoyed with those people who don't like musicals and they're like, it's unrealistic. How does everyone know the song? And it's like, because it's an art form, you doof.
Really?
And so maybe one would appeal to them more than another because The Sound mm-hmm. of Music, you're like, this is telling the story. The songs are telling you the story.
Right.
Just like a dance might in a ballet or how you would in an opera or something like mm-hmm. or how you find allegories in movies and styles in anything. So
or how an action scene plays out in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
yeah.
like that's a good
yeah.
one to
yeah.
compare.
A yeah. lot of you can suspend your disbelief when an action star comes out of a car crash and just dusts themselves off without a scratch
right.
on them.
Or
you
know,
go, you
watching-
go, just have fun. It's a movie. Like that's.
Right.
The same.
Or, you know, you're doing Shakespeare and people are speaking in unrhymed iambic pentameter because that's the, you know, format.
It's the format. And if the format doesn't appeal to you, that's not a battle I'm going to have. Like, I'm not going to try to convince
right.
you if you're like, I just don't like it. It's like, okay. I mean, that's just yeah. something to do. But if you are curious, I feel like Wizard of Oz, Sound of Music, those films are good gateways.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As far as like pro shots, I know we're kind of sick of Hamilton fever at this point, but
Hamilton's
is still
great.
Like a perfect
it's
show. To
it's
show
great.
People.
I mean, you know, my personal recommendation is to start with, you know, musical genres of general music that they like. So yeah, if you're like hip, if you're into rap and hip hop, you know, send them some Lin-Manuel Miranda. If you know you're more into rock, maybe the Weber Rice shows, or you know, maybe Rent. You know something. Rent, Spring Awakening. One. Yeah.
Especially for teenagers.
Find the score and find the music that's going to appeal to them, and I think the story will follow.
Yeah.
And if you want to get some boomers into a musical, that's also good. Come From Away has a way with the older crowd. And that pro shot, like, I showed my mother it. I was like, hey, you might like this. She watched it 6 times
over 3 days.
That's just incredible on so many levels. Just the story, the fact that you've got the 12 characters, the directing and staging of that is... still blows me away the way they're like flipping. You know, you'll see somebody, they're doing this one character, they'll come, they'll grab a jacket, they're another character.
Yeah, I think also jukebox musicals are a great way. If the person is a big fan, and again, going back to the boomers, like my mom loves musicals, obviously, but she's obsessed with Beautiful because Carole King is her person. She's a piano-driven songwriter, just like Carole King is. Mm-hmm. And so I think she took her family to see it, who aren't necessarily, or her brother and sister, who aren't necessarily mm-hmm. musical theater people, but it was more like going, remember this time of our lives, remember this music that we shared? And I think that's... a great way too. You know, we're all musical theater snobs mm-hmm. here. None of us are super into jukebox musicals. But again, if it's a way to get someone to the theater and seeing live performance, I think it's a good gateway.
Yeah. A lot of the people who were pop stars, you know, back when us olds were, you know, younger, they're doing shows now. Cyndi Lauper did Kinky Boots. Sarah Bareilles did Waitress.
I call them popsicles.
Yeah, and Juliet with like all the, you know, early 21st century stuff.
I'm dying to see the Britney Spears Once Upon a One More Time jukebox musical. I can't wait. Even if it's bad, I don't care.
But I also think, like, let's think about the dads, the brothers, the edgy boys.
Oh. Dads love Jersey Boys.
They love mm-hmm. Book of Mormon.
Sure. Yeah. American Idiot, if you're into kind of that, if your nostalgia is maybe leaning towards that early 2000s punk sound.
But also, don't ever underestimate taking them to see a sung version of a movie they like. Take them to Beetlejuice. Take them to all the other hundreds of films.
There's
take them to Tootsie, I guess.
There's a reason why those dumb movie to musical shows exist, so that you go, I know that. I know what to expect. And then you go in and see it. So, I mean, that is fair.
And that always, you know, that always has a place as a gateway show. I mean, you know, everybody likes to make fun of Wicked and Rent and the Lloyd Webber shows and, you know, everything else. But the fact is, you know, that's usually where you start to get those like 10, 12, 14-year-olds who are like, yes, this is my thing. I want to do this. And that's how they get into, you know, Sondheim and Candor and Ebb and, you know, all the really meaty stuff.
If you want to do something a little more ambitious, if your person is maybe they're a theater person or maybe they appreciate different art forms and they're not like necessarily like averse to something a little more heady, the Into the Woods pro shot. Because I saw that when I was 5 or whatever, and I became obsessed. And I think because the fairy tales are so, the fairy tale characters are so easy to grasp, and that original production is so iconic, I think if your person can handle a little bit more, I think that would be a great one to start off with. And it's a great first Sondheim.
Yeah.
But I also famously, I had a show that basically is this premise. This developed into something else after 200 episodes. But I started with Sweeney Todd because that is like a perfect thing for like, if they're a horror
fan. The movie
fan,
version.
That is,
that's a good horror
Well,
movie
not even
fan.
The movie version.
Oh, just in general?
I showed Andrew the George Hearn pro shot, then the movie.
I love that
pro shot is as perfect as a pro shot can be.
Mm-hmm. I love George Hearn so much. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
are
that's
a
great
Carew
one.
Are you a Carew fan or a Hearn
We've
fan?
We've had this conversation before. You're a Carew, I'm a Hearn.
Okay. Thank you. My Alzheimer's is kicking in.
I've got
in again.
No beef with Carew at all. I love Lane Carew, but I think just something about George Hearn, the way he can like scream like a hair metal god while singing like a baritone. There's something about it that just works so well. But yeah, that's a great one too. Like again, if they're like dark and the movie version
something,
of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, somebody wants something a little more edgy and thinks that musicals are all like the
and then
the Sound
also,
of Music or the Perky Annie stuff.
Yeah, and if you think about, like, let's say teenagers, trying to get teens into it, that Johnny Depp one, I mean, it's like R, but, you know, it's you if they're kind of an edgy teen, gothy, emo, they definitely would be into it. And then, Rent
too.
Is so good for teenagers. Like, when you discover Rent as a teen, there's just something about it. Like, I mean, Christy, well, you're a hair older than me, but, like, we were just a hair, but, like, discovering Rent around that formative time,
Rent
having it
college,
actually come
was
out.
Was college age for me, so, yeah. That's,
oh, that's still
I was still
super
pretty
formative.
Much in that
yeah.
wheelhouse. But, like, yeah.
It's great, and those shows that kind of become simpler over time, like Rent or like the Golden Age shows, not that they're simple, but their music might be a little more accessible. Those are great for younger people. My Andrew Lloyd Webber phase was when I was like, like angsty, like 15-year-old. I was listening to like, you know, that phase that every musical theater girl goes through when they're like 15 and they listen to Les Mis and they're like, I'm Eponine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Les Mis is another good one. Les Mis is another great gateway one.
Not the movie.
No, not the movie. Do the 10th anniversary concert.
Ooh, yes, 10th anniversary
concert.
That's the
one I grew up with, and I love it.
I will say I do prefer, not the 25th, the more recent 35th anniversary concert with
Jesus,
Michael Ball
how many
and
of these
Javert.
Concerts do they need? Yeah.
Michael Ball is Javert, and they cut a lot out of that 10th anniversary concert, like a lot of story pieces, and they bring it back into other concerts. There's too many concerts, but I think the most recent one.
I think
very,
the 10th anniversary
good.
One was just like the hits, like just the songs.
Just the songs.
But that one's great.
It's
too,
got a
because...
fantastic cast, though.
Yes.
I mean,
oh yeah. My god!
Did they call it the dream cast?
They
like,
did. Yeah.
Who did they ask?
Well, it was like Lea Salonga's Eponine.
There was Lea Salonga's in there. I think it was Terrence Mann was Javert in that one, right? Or
was it it was Phil Quast.
You're right.
I love Terrence Mann.
Baby Philip Quast. Philip Quast. I know we're not in the horny episode, but oh my god, he's so hot.
Well, I love Terrence Mann, so he's very horny too.
Terrence Mann is very hot in the Chorus Line movie.
Oh yeah, he's the first face you see. He goes,
he's the dance captain.
I love it.
But the,
they
with
gave
the
him an
fro.
Actual personality.
He's Rum Tum Tugger. Cats might be a good one.
Cats is a good one. If you do have like
I'm
that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you do have the angsty girl teen, Phantom at Royal Albert Hall.
If you do have a very angsty girl teen that wants to know a bunch of TikTok memes, and that could be a good gateway, bring them into Heather's the Musical.
Like, a lot that of had teenagers a... love Heather's.
Well, yeah. TikTok started with like the Martha dump truck in the flesh, like that going over, and now Heather's is coming back with the Meant to Be Yours, like guy singing again. Heather's is never going to die in this generation, so you might as well show it. And because it's permeated the
That's
youth culture.
I'm totally
And as long
that.
As we're talking about trending, I mean, you know, Encanto has been on the Billboard Top 100 for like weeks now.
Yeah, I was going to segue to that. People will always be like, I hate musicals. And then it's like, my favorite Disney movie is The Little Mermaid. It's like, that's a fucking musical, man.
Yeah.
Like, all of the Disney Renaissance big ones are musicals. So there's a gate, like proper modern integrated into the plot musicals. Encanto, obviously amazing, but literally those are great gateways, ones that you probably have already seen, and ones because it's through the medium of animation, you don't sit there and go, why are they breaking into song all of a sudden?
Yeah.
You allow it for some reason.
Yeah.
If we can be grateful for Disney for anything, it's normalizing a stage sung thing for a lot of new people with that Lion King and Beauty and the Beast stage versions, which are proper Broadway musicals that took a lot of people that probably wouldn't go see Into the Woods and get their butts into a theater.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast was the first one. I've talked about this before. It was such a big freaking deal to be like, I can't, it blew my mind. I was like, Disney is making a stage version of the best movie that has ever existed. Like, I can't even. Like, it was such a big deal. And now it's just like, now anytime a Disney movie musical comes out, everyone's like, where where's the stage version?
Exactly.
Where's the stage version of Encanto?
Give me Lin as Bruno. Yeah, suck on it.
I don't,
suck on
I don't
it.
Want Lin as Bruno.
I'm just
I'd
saying
prefer
it
him
to make people
as,
suck on it.
What's her name's dad? I'd prefer her as
Augustine?
Mirabelle's dad.
Agustin.
Okay. I could see
Augustine
that.
Augustine Magaldi, who has the distinction of being
that is
the first
not a good
man to be a viewer. Sorry, I just heard Augustine.
Yeah, that is not a good introduction.
I'm telling
that
you,
yeah,
it's just
one.
In there from that high school production, you guys.
Oh, yeah, I know, you know. But yeah.
Man to be
know,
a fuse. I like how Antonio
local,
goes, man to be a fuse.
You know, your local schools, local repertories, especially like around the holidays or like, you know, right before the summer as they're closing off the season, they'll be doing like those, you know, big, easily accessible crowd pleaser shows. So they'll, that's
and,
when they do like the Guys and Dolls
yes.
and, you know, all the ones that you've heard about, Mamma Mia or all those other fun ones that are really good to get people into.
And if you have like a teenager or a tween like that wants to see musicals, but you don't want to break the bank, the local high school productions are perfect for that because
God,
not only is it you...
I am here right now because my grandmother took me to my older cousin's high school doing Oklahoma, so
yeah,
it works.
Like because on the one hand they don't know they're just seeing theater to them it's the high school might as well be as this if you're like 10 the high school production and the Pantages production might as well be the same and then if you're like oh say like a 13 year old and you're gonna go to that high school next year it's aspirational it's something to look forward to and it's just a great way to bang out those like kind of foundational musicals that a lot of that we do in educational theater you don't have to break the bank seeing a professional production of Bye Bye Birdie you can go see the high school production and get something great out of it and support your community and support the kids and all the things that you want to do to help nurture theater in your local communities. So go for that. And then yes, there's so much local theater. I'm so tired of people on Twitter going revival of this. When I'm like, go to your local theater production. It's happening around the corner. Like
I still want to see Secret. I still want to see Secret Garden on Broadway, but that's a very good point.
Oh, for sure. No, I mean, I'm speaking generally like
you're not anti-revival. You're just,
no,
there are other ways.
I'm not anti-revival at all. I'm just saying like, you can see this theater. Like, you don't have to just wait till Broadway does it. You could see it. You could produce it. Like, there's...
And you're talking... Yeah. We're talking, like, stuff that's going to be, like, you know, maybe $30 or $40 a ticket rather than $80 to $100 per ticket. This
if
is...
It's a high school production. It's going to be, like,
$10.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's a show your kid wants to see... Take them to that production. It'll mean so much to them. Like, seeing people around their age doing theater like that. It means so much. I love educational theater.
Well, since we're talking about the kids, let's talk about musicals that we think would be a good gateway for kids that might be interested in theater. Like,
Annie.
If you can't, like, even afford to... Let's just say you're in the middle of, like, bumfuck nowhere, and you just want to be able to show them a movie that'll give them that vibe because you don't want to drive 3 hours into
Again,
town.
You know, all the top Disney classics are good.
Musicals with kids in them,
absolutely.
I find, are really great because they can...
They
have
that's
someone
how
they can
see themselves.
Exactly. So that's why Annie is good. If they want to go darker with a child orphan, you could go Oliver. Matilda's great.
Matilda,
all these put upon little children musicals.
Yeah.
I think The Music Man is good for kids.
Yeah.
I love that at six.
Well, really, because there's kid characters and the music, obviously we all love the score, but it's graspable, but complicated or intricate, I guess. So it's cool. There's stuff you can, I remember like when I was a kid having to memorize the entire Rock Island. It was imperative for me to know every line in it. And I think that's a great one. What are some others with like kid main characters that you guys can think of? Secret Garden, obviously.
Yeah.
Secret Garden's great.
I know, you know, back in my
not
day,
high society.
Back in my day, they were taking little girls to see Cosette, to see Les Mis, because it's like, oh, they got the little girl singing Castle on the Cloud.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and then there's the other two and a half, 3 hours where there's a lot of other stuff going on. But, you know, for some, it worked.
If you have a particularly, if you have a little boy who's maybe
wanting
little...
to seize the day.
No, well, I mean, yeah, Newsies is great. Newsies is great for kids across the board. But I was thinking, if you have a little boy who's maybe a little more in touch with his feminine side or a little dancey, Billy Elliot has. I don't know if I love the score that much. I feel like it's kind of sparse, but because it's a bit more of a dance show. But if you have like a ballet boy. That might be a great one to kind of show
I
him.
Know these shows aren't popular among us theater people, but I've seen kids really gravitate towards these shows. SpongeBob the Musical was a moment for a lot of children, and a lot of people are obsessed
with
theater.
That
because
was
of
that. Surprisingly well
they
done
love
show.
Seussical, too.
I
mean, they love Seussical.
Yeah, Seussical.
Shrek the Musical, which is very, very big and regional. And
These are the kinds of shows.
It's got a pro shot, too. So if that's
and these are the great Jeanine Tesori score. Come on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. SpongeBob and Seussical, shows like that that had Broadway runs. It was one of those things where like they had a Broadway run. And I was like, this is having a Broadway run for the technicality of being a Broadway show. And it doesn't matter if it closes early because this shit is meant to do gangbusters in regional and educational theater.
And it
like,
has.
Come on, Seussical is made for educational theater. It was never going to be like a hit on Broadway with it being as cartoony as it is. Who knows? Maybe they could. I want to see a stripped down, reimagined Seussical.
You know what?
No
Seussical that fucks.
I want the Seussical that fucks.
I honestly think that's where Beetlejuice was going, but then they, you know, got a lot of people who decided they wanted to get it back on Broadway. So,
well, let's just say the one of the leads got a TikTok and started doing a bunch of things behind the scenes, and that was what grew that fan base. The actress Presley Ryan, who was the understudy for Lydia, so she was able to do a lot of TikToks behind the scenes when people were like going in between stuff, and that drew a lot of the attention to the Youngs.
The tickety talks.
Yeah, and at that point, when they suddenly started
kids
selling
these days.
They were already announced to close. It's a messy situation. I understand the messy situation.
I know. To me, people were so angry on all sides, and to me, I was just kind of like, I mean, this show.
I mean, revival. To be honest,
no, I know. I'm with you on that one.
Well, yeah, I was. Yeah, they didn't.
Jeff reminded me earlier what a great. Sorry, he just walked in. My husband. He reminded me of a great.
Hey, beautiful boy.
He reminded me of a great gateway musical, which is Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
Which I think it is because one of the things that the show does so well is that it. Without making it like exposition dump, the whole beginning of the show is setting up these traditions and this community so you understand what's going on. And then the rest of the show is spent breaking those down. I think that's it. It's deceptively deep, I guess you could say. But I think that's I think Fiddler's
but
good.
Yeah, I love, you know, there's few things I love more than a really good, okay, this is everything you need to know before the show starts number, and tradition is one of the best.
Oh yeah, and then right after you get Sabbath prayer, so you know how the Sabbath works.
Oh my
goodness. You see the scene with Perchick where you're like, this guy is from out of town. We don't exactly trust him. There's so much. The wedding, you get the idea that him breaking the barrier, so them dancing together is a big deal. I love that stuff. And I think even if you don't understand really anything about like musicals or the city of Anatevka, I think you can relate to a lot of that.
And that has a near perfect film adaptation. I don't think there's any faults in that movie.
Perfect.
Where its adaptation, it works as a film first and a musical second, which is what makes it so good for a gateway show.
It's so good. Yeah, I showed it to my students when we were having Zoom class all of last year, and I just shared the screen with them over a few days, and I said, we're going to watch Fiddler on the Roof. They loved it. Oh, my God. They were, like, commenting, going, wait, what is that? Wait, who is that? Oh, my gosh. Oh, that guy's twin. Oh, my gosh. They were so invested. And it's such a great high school show. Oh, they're so.
That was my junior year show, so.
My junior
fantastic
year show,
stuff.
Too.
Yeah, I was a mama, too. Yes, in the dream, sequence, I was a soloist in the Rumor song, so.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, God.
Emily famously played Grandma Zeitel.
Oh, yes, against Josh Groban.
Josh Groban himself.
Josh Groban. I know, they showed it on the Tony Awards. It was the 2016. But one of the cool things about it is when we did it, the guy, we had this tradition of like, we had this wonderful history teacher at our school, Mr. Friedman, just the best guy in the world. We would always let him have like a small role in our school musicals if we could. So like a few years before I got there, they did West Side Story and he played Doc. And then when we did Fiddler, he was the rabbi. And it was really great because, so he was going Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. But it was so helpful because he is Jewish. And so during the rehearsals, he and his wife, she came in and they would kind of teach us, because obviously we were a very diverse cast, LA Arts High School, across the spectrum races. So we had a literal girl who was a Russian Jew in our cast. So that was, that was pretty handy. But, he taught us everything and we learned everything. So it wasn't just, we're doing this show with no context. We were able to get like a cultural history lesson, which again should be kind of the point of the musicals you do in school. Yes. It should be somehow tied to an education somehow, you know, nothing is in a vacuum. And that's how Fiddler works so well. Like you can just learn so much about the culture naturally. It's amazing. I love that show.
Yeah.
I agree. I think Fiddler's my number one choice. But I think we've talked
about it. I ranted on and
well.
On.
You know what? Anything with Patti LuPone. Like she's a good gateway.
Oh, I guess the Mama Rose musical has kid roles. That's a pretty fun.
I like that.
One.
It the does, Mama Rose yes. musical, yes.
Mamoo,
it does
Mamoo.
Have a lot of kid roles.
And yet there's strippers in it, but they're strangely wholesome.
Yeah.
They just teach
they're
you to
not,
get a
gimmick. They're so nice. They're so nice to Louise.
I know. I love You Gotta Get a Gimmick. God, I love that song. Anyway, that's tying into our last episode about sexy things.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, you're giving me some Mama Rose vibes today, Emily, with that like maroon shirt.
Yeah.
Sing out, Louise!
Okay. Actually, you're giving me Imelda Staunton, Mama Rose. You're giving me Patti LuPone, Mama Rose.
Yeah. Christy, start telling us to turn off our phones.
So yeah. I'm just Herbie. I'm just Herbie here. Or Tulsa. No, I'm Herbie. I can't be that good a dancer.
Get your friends into musicals, people. We've given you so many suggestions. Now spread the gospel.
Yes. Now go out, my friends.
Convert everyone. Everyone's going to be walking down the street snapping like you're in a Jerome Robbins musical. Those big L arms.
Oh, yeah. Just today, Spielberg was trending because, you know, somebody posted that oneer from the gym scene, and they're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And so, yeah, it is amazing.
My favorite part is Guillermo del Toro breaking down, like, you guys don't understand how amazing this is. And he broke down the, like, cinematic technique and ended with, like, it's like being Salieri trying to keep up with Mozart and just, like, I can't.
You know, that Spielberg guy might be talented.
Yeah, he might be a good director.
He might be a good director.
I know this is way off topic, but his movies have basically looked like musicals since he changed his DP to Yamush Kaminsky in the 90s. Like, even Schindler's List has these, like, weird spotlights coming in and just shining the right things at the right moment.
We've talked about like this, pieces. Like, how neither of us were worried about Spielberg directing a musical. We were like, oh, please, come on. How has he not done this yet?
I was worried about the Mama Rose musical he was going to direct an adaptation of with Barbara Streisand about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I've read the script. It would not have worked.
I'm not seeing Streisand as Mama Rose.
No, that
time
has
passed. You know who put a stop to
by.
That, right?
Yeah.
You know who put a like kibosh on that happening, right?
Sondheim?
Yep, Mr. Stephen Sondheim.
Good.
I can see that.
You know what? The show is perfect because it keeps getting reinterpreted. If we make a definitive version, that will just be what everyone sees it as. I don't want this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Another great regional theater show. And I do think it's a good one that you could show to kind of anyone of any age. It's good for like maybe your kids who can maybe handle the fact that, you know, it segues into burlesque and stripping. But it's like, you know, very tame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to end on a story before we promote all of our wonderful stuff. One time, my father, trying to show me what acting was, started showing me the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it's Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick walking through the ring. He's like, see how they're like reacting and acting to things? And then my mom's just like messing around reading a book or something, and then Tim Curry comes out, and my mom looks up, what are you showing him?
Tim going,
And then they turned it off. I was like enjoying myself, and he's like, "All right, that's done. Sorry, she said no." promote your wonderful stuff.
All right. I'm at Musical Hell on YouTube. Lots of social media stuff. I've got a Patreon. I've got merch. I've got lots of videos.
Emily, go for it.
I'm at Stealing Focus on YouTube. I do make some educational I do make some educational history theater content, so if you're into that stuff, you know, I got your teacher stuff ready to go. But I also do musical theater history, and you can find me at Emily A. B. Clark on all the social things. Go find me.
And I was recently on a couple podcasts where I was talking about you guys, because I always talk about you guys. Aww. And I say you two are by far the smartest and most educated musical theater content creators and the best of the best they are. And I stand by that every day. I'm very lucky to know you both.
Well,
if you want to listen to me,
you're right.
If you want to listen to me garble on about musical theater with my buddy Andrew, look at Musicals with Cheese. All right. We'll see you next time on the Dear Friends podcast.
Goodbye.
Dear friends, spill your woes to your musical family. Dear friends, they will take your questions and turn them into nuggets of wisdom and anecdotes in an otherwise cynical world. Dear friends.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.